thank you for joining us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And there's been so much emotion over the last couple of days. And I know that we're all trying to find different ways to express ourselves or to, you know, I think some people just want to turn off the radio, turn off the television and hide from it. Or some people are getting angry. So many of us are very sad. I think that I've had the range of emotions of just waking up and going, this can't possibly be something that's happening. The worst mass shooting in our history. And at 2 a.m., Mina Justice received a text from her son, who was in a nightclub in Orlando when a gunman opened fire, which in fact turned out to be the worst mass shooting in the United States history. And her texts were from her son saying, "Mommy, he's in the bathroom. Mommy, I love you. He's in the bathroom." And that was the last she heard from her son. He in fact turned out to be one of the deceased in this shooting. And it's hard sometimes for many of us to wrap our minds around this. I was surprised at how quickly, maybe I shouldn't be surprised at how quickly this turned into a political conversation. But immediately I started thinking of how painful this had to be for the families, for this mother to receive a text from her son. I have two little boys, and this is something you would never want to see or get a phone call about. Your child being afraid for their life. And for your worst fear to come true. And in such a public way, and for living his life, you know, we all aspire to, what is it? The pursuit of happiness, right? That's what's in our Bill of Rights, is the pursuit of happiness. I immediately started thinking about these families, about how traumatizing this is. And I also felt traumatized myself. And I think that many of us do feel traumatized. And I wanted to reach out to somebody who is so hardworking in the community, in the LGBTQ community. We have Jeff Zacharias, who has New Hope Recovery Centers in both Lincoln Park and Lincoln Square. And I saw a post about you opening up your offices today, almost immediately. It was right before we even knew much of the story. We just knew that there was a nightclub in Orlando that was a gay nightclub called Pulse. This was their Latin night. And all we knew so far was that there was a mass shooting. When I opened my eyes, there was already a long line for right. blood donations. What were you receiving right away? What kind of messages were you receiving? I mean, because you had to be receiving outreach from others.
It was immediate. And, you know, I woke up that morning not knowing what had happened and started reading through Facebook. And I thought, this has got to be some kind of a made up story. And then it started to come out, the impact of it was 20 people, and then it was 30 yes. people, and then it was 50 people. And so, you know, I knew that we wanted to reach out immediately, both as New Hope Recovery Center and my private practice, to say, we don't know the full impact of this yet, but if you need a safe space to go talk and decompress and grieve, here's space free of charge. Let us know. We will have a fully manned treatment team come in and be a part of this. And so, you know, since yesterday, it has really rippled clearly across Facebook and all social media. And even with my clients and my staff and in our own home, my husband and I, and with my brother, I mean, it just has really spiraled. And there's nobody that isn't touched by it, this thing.
Nobody.
Nobody. It's you know, the 50 people, 53 injured, and then their loved ones, and then their loved ones, and anybody who just
loves somebody. Just that. Yeah. And again, this was a speech last night in the Tonys, which may seem trivial, but it's anyone who loves someone.
Correct. It was, it wasn't just even just a group of people. It was just somebody came in and opened fire on somebody they fundamentally hated. And so that, you know, anybody I think can really identify with that in some way, shape, or form.
And that's one of the words I've been trying to work with today, is the word hate, because I even looked it up, you know, and it was negative feelings, right? But to me, it's an absence of love.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me, is an absence for the capacity to love.
Sure.
And you can hate particular things, and you can hate the way you look in the mirror. You can hate that people wear flip-flops to church. You can hate those kinds of elements and pass judgment, right? It's about passing judgment.
Sure.
And we do that all the time, the way someone looks, the way someone acts. But to, like you said, fundamentally hate a lifestyle, to hate people because they love someone of the same sex.
Even broader than a lifestyle.
But yeah, yes, thank you. Because we were talking about language in the green room.
Yeah.
Not a lifestyle. But that's what people
it's how people perceive it.
Boil it down to is a lifestyle.
Right.
That's the way they describe it.
Sure.
But to me, again, it's loving somebody and wanting to participate in that relationship.
Yeah, no, I can speak for myself, and I probably could speak for all those individuals. They didn't wake up and go, well, you know, I think it's going to be a great idea for me to get ridiculed and, you know, slaughtered and you know, whatever language you want to use.
Ostracized.
It's not something we just decided to do for fun.
Right. It's not a lifestyle.
No.
And again, and we were talking about the words that people choose to use, whether and I don't feel comfortable even saying the word that had bothered me that we've talked about before on this show, many of them. But I mean, you know, people, I have a friend who's a stand-up comic who even like sold bumper stickers because he was like, well, when we were kids and we said this word, we didn't even know what it meant. You know, and so we kind of use that as sort of an excuse for ourselves. But I think it does perpetuate this intolerance. And I'm not saying it directly leads, although it is, it does. Doesn't it directly lead to somebody?
For sure.
Saying.
And there's a lot of things that we did as a kid that are not kosher now.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't, language is an evolving thing. We now know the importance of language and the impact it has beyond just being used in that moment. It is, you know, it reaches its tentacles out and impacts everybody. And language is, I think, the first place that people get traumatized. It's where we still get traumatized.
Right.
And for somebody who's even fairly well adjusted to their, you know, orientation, it's still as traumatizing, certain words,
and
lots of words.
And in this situation, there's a lot of traumatizing again when you feel like you're not going to be accepted to know that there's violence out there.
Well, I said this to you early. It's, you know, somebody walked into our house. Like when we first come out, when many of us first come out, the first place we think of to go is to a bar because that's where we know our tribe is. This individual walked into our house and opened fire on our tribe. So it's automatically a sense of, well, if it happened in Orlando, it could happen here. Then we know that a guy came to Pride Parade in L.A. yesterday with a bomb.
And no one's how come no one's talking about that?
It's frightening.
Let's talk about him when we come back. We'll take a break. We're talking to Jeff Zacharias, who has New Hope Recovery Centers in Lincoln Square and Lincoln Park. Where can people find out information about your centers?
We can go to our website, new-hope-recovery.com. You can go to jeffzacharias.com. You can go to any variety of ways, social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all those ways.
Well, I'm glad that you're here and I can find you even more easily than finding your website.
Yeah.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I am joined by Jeff Zacharias with the New Hope Recovery Centers, and he has locations in Lincoln Square and Lincoln Park. And we were talking a lot about language, both in the green room before the show started, and people will think, well, you know, I heard conversations all day. You know what the arguments are about all day, whether it's about, is this a conversation about guns? This is a conversation about politics. It's all of those. It's all about love, about hate, about religious extremism. I think all those conversations are important. I wanted you on tonight because I saw that you had offered your services to people who felt traumatized, who were scared and angry. And I think we're feeling all of those things.
Right.
And when we talk about language, we talk, you know, information has come out about the shooter and that his parents were from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. He was born in the United States. And was he led to extremism on social media? And during the day, there was another report that a young man had traveled from Indiana to California with weapons and his car filled with explosives on his way to another gay pride parade and was intending to do, obviously, tremendous amounts of violence there as well. And because this gentleman in Florida is of people have said there are ties to Islamic extremists, and you know, that's why we have to be careful with Muslims, or why we have to round up all the extremists and all, you know, this language. When a week ago we were all celebrating Muhammad Ali and saying, well, here's a great American, and he really was so outspoken and so brave. And now today again, it's about part of the conversation is that. What are your thoughts when you saw on the same day this young man from Indiana was traveling to California?
Again, it was one of those surreal moments to think that this was, it's almost something of a movie.
Yes.
That hate had taken this sort of form, that people were traveling cross country with explosive to do harm to a celebration.
Right,
Gay Pride Month. It's so, you know, we're talking about language, and language matters. It is one of the most important things that we can do for each other, is to use correct language that we each want to use, by asking how you want to be referred. Something as simple as pronouns.
Or pronunciation of your name. That's why am I saying your name correctly?
Zacharias, you got
it. Zacharias, yeah. Good.
But I mean, it goes, you know, it's everything. It's how we reference each other. It's our pronouns. It's if we don't understand, ask. I mean, it's all sorts of things related to language. And it's one of those building blocks for human relationships, is the concept of language. And if you don't know, just ask. And, you know, it's... language can be hate-filled, as clearly evidenced with these couple of things this weekend. And there was a lot of hate, I think, with both individuals, and now with this person traveling cross-country. So, you know, it's just really intense, and it's a lot of stuff. But one of the building blocks really is language.
When people say, oh, well, I'm just so tired of being politically correct, and people are too sensitive, or I just want to say what I'm thinking. How do we explain that when you say that you're tired of being politically correct, you're really saying to so many people you're tired of being respectful?
Yeah. Oh, that's
right? I know. It's so much.
It's such a big thing.
Because political correctness became sort of this catch-all of having to watch what you say. And people feel like, oh, well, I can't express myself now. And to me, what it's become lately is, again, I'm tired of being nice.
Right.
I'm tired of being, well, so, and again, I've told my listeners who will send me very angry texts or told me to go crawl in a hole and die and call me the C word and things like that.
Sure.
I wish there were some way, if you're feeling that kind of hate, oh, maybe this is something we can do. And we only have a couple more minutes and we're going to keep talking till midnight and even beyond if we have, find a way. But if you could have talked to someone like the shooter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or people who are out there who right now they're gritting their teeth, they're clenching, right? And they're just so mad at the conversation that we are having.
Mm-hmm.
What can we say to sort of, you know, even loosen a little bit of that anger or that tightness, that clenching of, I have to hold on to this?
You know, it when you were talking about expressing yourself, it's okay to express yourself, but it's not at the expense of others when it cuts to the core of who they are. You know, you can express yourself in a variety of ways, but it's just not okay to express hate, particularly in such violent, aggressive acts. That's not okay in any way, shape, or form. And it could be something as overt as what this gentleman did, but there's also a lot of ways that people express that anger and that hatred through very covert, you know, under the radar things that people can't identify on the surface. But, you know, it's everything from politics to churches to what you see on social media to language to, I don't know, it can be a variety of things. But anyway, so the point is that it goes beyond just expressing that anger and being dissatisfied. It really goes to all these covert ways of oppression and stigma and hate and perpetuating. And
because I always feel like if there's something that's making you that upset about the words that I'm saying or two men kissing, there's something else that you're mad about.
It's time to take a look inward. You know, one of the things that came out today real quick is that guy, that the gentleman who did the shooting in Orlando had been seen at that bar in months past. And, you know, perhaps there was an unsettled portion of him that instead of looking at it,
it came out in this form.
Right, right. Because, I mean, right, the choices are, was he there because he was scoping it out, or was he there because he was trying to find some part of himself he hadn't resolved?
Right.
We are talking to Jeff Zacharias with the New Hope Recovery Centers, and he has locations in Lincoln Square and Lincoln Park. Go to jeffzacharias.com.
Or new-hope-recovery.com.
And we'll put links on my Facebook page. Thanks. You're listening Pretty Late. More after this on 720 WGN. And please, please join the conversation anytime. 312-981-7200. Again, that's 312-981-7200. And Jeff will take your questions. And we also want to hear what you're thinking. How are you feeling tonight? Just trying to make sure that we are giving you a place that feels safe. More after this.
All around the world, people are trying to come to terms with the horrific events that took place in Orlando this morning on behalf of the whole theater community and every person in this room. Our hearts go out to all of those affected by this atrocity. All we can say is you are not on your own right now. Your tragedy is our tragedy. Theater is a place where every race, creed, sexuality, and gender is equal, is embraced, and is loved. Hate will never win. Together, we have to make sure of that. Tonight's show stands as a symbol and a celebration of that principle. This is the Tony Awards.
I think WGN radio all day has, and yesterday, if you were listening to our station as the news was unfolding, Mark Carman and Adam Hogue and Jared Payton all had a great conversation. And these are guys hosting a sports show, and they did not do regular sports. Right. They spent 3 hours, three hours having this conversation, inviting people on any side, wherever you came from, to express yourself. And I agree with the sentiments you just heard, that this is hate will not win out.
Right.
We are joined by Jeff Zacharias, who runs the New Hope Recovery Centers in Lincoln Square and Lincoln Park. And that's, I think that is the truth of it, is that, you know, there are more people who love than hate. When we saw the images of people running immediately to donate blood, there are more of us than there are of you.
Right. We, you know, at least for me, the immediate response was, what can we do?
Yes.
And, you know, that was offering up our space and my clinical team and myself to whatever space people needed. And I know there were lots of other therapists and organizations that did, but...
You're just the first one I saw.
You know,
thanks to Kristen Decker. She had posted something she'd seen a link. So that was how I found you.
That's amazing. Yeah, we just, it wasn't even a thought. It's just, what do we do to provide safety in this moment? Because we know that... our clients are already dealing with so much. And then to see that can vicariously traumatize again and again. And sometimes people just need a space to talk or cry or whatever it is. So we wanted to make sure we were right up there and just said, you know, come all. You don't have to pay. Just tell us what you want and let's make that space.
And to remind people that they are loved.
Yeah.
That there's someone here for you. Allie, how are you doing?
Hi.
Hi, Allie.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. Yourself?
Good, good. Thank you for taking my phone call, actually.
Of course.
Well, there's a quick comment that I wanted to mention. I just came out of, I'm a Muslim, by the way. I'm one of the Muslim faith followers.
Okay.
We just came out of a prayer here at the community center, the Islamic community center. I'm calling from the north side of Chicago, and the imam of the prayer had a long speech about what happened in Orlando. You know, we wanted to tell everyone out there, we are against any violence, against any religion, against any ethnicity. Totally, 100%, no one agrees with what happened. You know, the problem is that, unfortunately, I don't want to say all the media, but roughly 80-90% of the media hold Islam and Muslims, you know, responsible for the act of this sick individual, if I may call him. You could call him any kind of other name. But we should not. Today, personally, I had to pay a price for what happened in Orlando. My wife was a shopping center in which somebody attacked her and pulled her scarf away from her, calling me, what the hell are you doing here? Go back to your country.
Right.
The same incident happened to a friend of mine the other day, the same day this thing happened. it is very unfortunate that we're holding whole community and the millions of, or thousands of people responsible for the act of this person who was born in the USA. He's an American citizen. I never even been to his country, Afghanistan, supposedly, whichever country that he was. And, we all need to work together in this. You know, the media need to really try to tolerate other religions and stop talking, you know, bad and putting really bad images out there and about Islam or the Muslims or any other religion. As a matter of fact, I'm not gonna hate a whole religion just because a Jew did something bad to a Muslim, or because a Christian did something bad to a Muslim, or the other way around. But it's unfortunate. This is what's happening nowadays.
Would you say, and this was something that Jeff and I were talking about, how much language matters, and even some things that I may have said, you know, that you know, whether or not people are using the words like Islamic extremists. Right. You know, uh-huh. I think the truth is, and I think we can all agree on this, there are hateful people in all religions who will use their religion as an excuse that I think paints us all with a terrible brush.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even sure if this guy used religion as a cause of what he did. I mean, we listen to what the media says and to what the authorities are saying. I'm not sure if we're going to believe everything that they say. Again, this guy was licensed to guard a court. He was a U.S. citizen, born and raised, even his education finished it over here in the USA. And, you know, why do we have to always attack the name Islam and Muslim to this whole thing? And may I give you one very quick example?
Okay.
About 20 years ago, in the Ibrahimi Mosque in Hebron, a Jewish extremist came into the Hebron Mosque, I'm not sure if you remember that massacre, and killed 27 Muslims while they were praying in the morning, at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was a big, you know, all over the news, roughly 20 years ago in Hebron. Now, am I supposed to hate every single Jew in the world because this Jewish settler came and killed 27 Muslims while they were praying the morning prayer at their mosque? Of course not. I'm not gonna, because I have so many Jewish friends who love Muslims and love Palestinians and believe that, you know, this is. I mean, when I watch Fox News, this is not the message, for example, that they're putting out there. You know, they're putting that the Muslims hate every other religion. You know, just watch Hannity show for half an hour, listen to him, or some of these other shows that put nothing but hate and extremism out there by the word and by the bad message and the bad information, the misleading information that they put out there. You know, so we need to tolerate each other. And I can assure that every single Muslim, every single, you know, loving peace person is against this thing, no matter if you know, who is the victim. You know what I'm saying?
Ali, and one of the things that I saw right away, which was so perplexing to me, were how quickly Christian fundamentalists, before anyone knew who the shooter was saying, good, at least it was gays. Or, you know, so this was something it was tragic. There were people posting biblical verses saying you reap what you sow. I know that Jeffrey posted it. And so this was something that people and I consider those people that were applauding it to also be extremists in their own religions. Sure. I would call them Christian extremists.
I'm going to tell you someone who really benefited from this whole thing. You know, we saw the media coverage just 2 days ago, when Muhammad Ali, you know, passed away, may God bless his soul, and the positive coverage about Islam and Muslims, and the positive message that Muhammad Ali put out there.
It's gone.
Look what happened now.
It's gone.
Exactly. Look,
it's gone.
Look, look what happened today. Who is the beneficiary of this? I'm going to tell you one person for sure, Trump. Look what he said right away.
Because he's very happy that he was right. He loves saying he was right.
I told you we don't want no Muslims to enter this country. He doesn't know that 10% of the doctors of the USA are Muslims. He doesn't know that there's thousands of engineers and thousands of doctors and thousands of people who are putting positive message out there. And, you know, he's the one
Ali,
from this.
Tell me, so hey, sad. I'm Mexican. My mom wouldn't be here if he'd been able to build his wall in the 60s.
I mean, honestly, when I listen to this, you know, my wife came crying today. She only been here for a couple of years, you know. And, yeah, like, is this what you brought me here for someone to be, you know, for something that someone did in Orlando hours and thousands of miles away? For me to come and be insulted and be
Ali, before I let you go, can you please, would you mind telling me what mall she was at? When she, which someone, mall? Where she,
really
where someone ripped.
I really do want to put this in there if you don't mind.
That's okay. No, you don't have to, but I want to encourage
really
everybody.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
happens
you
every
know,
single
to
time.
We each other.
Yes.
We you know.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you, Ali. I want to thank you so much for sharing your story
sure.
with us. It is important.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
We look forward. Please.
Thank you so much for taking my phone call.
Of course.
Thank
call
you.
And join our conversation anytime, sir.
Take care.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a good night. Thanks.
Thank you. I know, because I he's right. What difference would it make what mall it was?
Doesn't matter.
Partly it's like, I want to know it wasn't my mall.
Right,
right. Right? I want to know if it's my neighbor's, but it is my neighbor's.
Right.
It's anybody who ripped her scarf.
Correct.
And harassed her and was hateful toward her because of what happened in Orlando.
It's painting with a broad brush stroke that's not necessarily.
It's so strange, Jeff. What's happening?
We're imploding.
We are imploding.
I mean, the country is imploding for all the gains, like, you know, what we saw last year with marriage equality and all that forward step. There has been an equal backlash going the other way from conservatives and fundamentalists. And here we are a year later.
There is that pain of, if you're going to have that, is it going to force people to be enraged?
Yeah.
We were talking to Jeff Zacharias, and let's talk a little bit when we come back about your personal experiences. And I don't mean you have to call us. If you want to call us and tell us what you're feeling, but I think that I'd like to talk a little bit about what it means to sort of experience this through social media, through watching the news, listening to conversations all day long,
sure.
and how to cope with that. We're talking to Jeff Zacharias from the New Hope Recovery Centers in Lincoln Square in Lincoln Park. You can find him at jeffzacharias.com, also new-hope-recovery.com.
Yes, thank you.
More after this on 720 WGN.
As you certainly know by now, early Sunday morning, there was another senseless shooting, this time at a dance club in Orlando, Florida. A dance club. It left 49 people dead, which is the largest loss of life due to a terrorist attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. I know everyone is angry right now and not really knowing how to react, but this is a time where people are looking to us as a country and how we will react. This country was built on the idea that we do not all agree on everything, that we are a tolerant, free nation that encourages debate, free thinking, believing or not in what you choose. I, as a new father, am thinking, what do I tell my kids? What do I tell them about this? What can we learn from this? What if my kids are gay? What do I tell them? Maybe there's a lesson from all this, a lesson in tolerance. We need to support each other's differences and worry less about our own opinions. Get back to debate and away from believing or supporting the idea that if someone doesn't live the way you want them to live, you just buy a gun and kill them, bomb them up. That is not okay. We need to get back to being brave enough to accept that we have different opinions, and that's okay, because that's what America is built on. The idea that we can stand up and speak our minds and live our lives and not be punished for that, or mocked on the internet, or killed by someone you don't know. This was just one bad guy here. 49 good people and one bad guy. And there will always be more good than evil. When I think of Orlando, I think of nothing but fun, and joy and families. If anyone can do it, you can. Keep loving each other, keep respecting each other, and keep on dancing. We'll be right back.
And we keep having to say that, don't we? That love is the most important thing. Love is how we get through this. Hope, I think hope is the other thing, and it's, so it's appropriate that our guest, Jeff Zacharias, is the owner of New Hope Recovery Centers. And that to me is something that I've talked about in my life. And we've talked a little bit about
sure.
Giving speeches. I have a son with special needs. And there are moments in your life where it feels like everything is impossible. And everything is too hard. And everything is too scary. And you just want the easy way out. Which is what I think that you help your clients cope with.
Yeah.
Is the easy way out. Whether that's through substance abuse or self-hurt.
Right.
And in this case, somebody hated so much, whether it was himself or others, that he took that and turned it into complete evil.
Right.
And took the lives of 49 people.
Right.
People have been, you know, trying to express themselves. And I haven't really, I'm at the point where I'm just like resharing other things on Facebook. If I post anything, it's the names of the people who were lost, photos, things like that. And I'm guessing you've seen the wide range of grief and anger at your centers. What do you say to people who are watching this, who are trying to process what this all means, whether they are gay, straight, have loved ones, love somebody, are scared?
Sure. You know, I get the biggest thing is that it gets better. It doesn't get perfect, but it gets better. And that's something that we say to our clients, and particular LGBT clients, that just hold on, that it'll get better. And I think there's something to be learned in everything. There are going to be lessons to be learned in this. And part of it, I think a large part of it's going to be about tolerance. And I think one large part of this is going to be about oppression. And if you don't say anything when people are feeling oppressed, you're part of the problem,
right,
not part of the solution.
Okay.
So we're going to have lots of conversations about oppression and power and control and tolerance, and lots of conversations about the tentacles of trauma and how that reaches out and impacts everybody's lives. And for people who are vulnerable, the LGBT community, people who are vulnerable and may turn to alcohol or drugs, or, you know, their mental health issues spike and a variety of things, just to hold on that there's hope,
right,
and there are people out there who want you to be well and want the community to be well. And it's just, we're here, you're here, there's lots of people here, just hold on, and ask lots of questions. If you don't know, just ask. If you don't know what language to use, just ask. If you don't know how to approach something, just ask.
Right.
So there's lots of things that are coming out.
Right. What's the worst thing that can happen if you just ask a question? Right.
You know,
that person might get mad, but at least you tried and you know you've put it out there, and that's on them and not on you anymore.
Mad is based in anger and hurt, though, right? So I wish people would ask me. Just ask me questions. What's the worst we're going to do?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Will you hang out with us a little more?
I would love to.
All right. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me tonight is musician Eric Howell, and we're going to talk about his new album and play some more music after our break in a little bit. We also have Brandon C. Price, who is riding Sidecar tonight, and he goes, are we going to talk guns? And that's what I love about you. That was
Thank you.
You know, no, I think that's an important conversation to have tonight. I think it's an important conversation, not just tonight after a tragic event, after violence. I think that it's a conversation we continue to have. People want to know why, right? They want to know, why is it about guns? Why is it being politicized? Well, there's somebody who works here at WGN Radio and who has firsthand knowledge of not just working in a nightclub, has actually been the near victim of gun violence. Brian Altimer is on the line right now. He's a producer for the Rokan Show. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Patty.
And you recently had a big news story about yourself. Is that weird to say? I've had a news story about myself. That's not really the phrasing of it, but somebody pulled a gun on you.
Yeah, that happened a few weeks ago. It was kind of it was scary, and it was surreal, actually. I didn't think it would happen to me.
You've started wearing a bulletproof vest. Is that right?
Yeah, I did.
And you have you have military training, and you know, I've been hearing from a lot of people who are either in the military now, have served before, and are a lot of them seem to really resent the idea that this is about gun control. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's necessary. It's not about gun control. It's about just guns getting into the wrong hands of people. You know, it's like, no matter what you do, no matter how many laws that you put out there, somehow guns are always going to find their way into the hands of the wrong people. So I think what they need to do, in my opinion, is to enforce the laws that are already on the books and prosecute those that violate gun laws, you know. And I think the minute they start doing that properly, especially here in Chicago, you'll start to tackle the problem. You know, you have people that get arrested here, you know, on a daily. You know, you hear these stories about, you know, kids that, well, not necessarily kids, but people that, you know, get arrested, you know, for guns or for a murder, and you find out their rap sheet is about, you know, 8 pages long, and they have prior gun charges and stuff like that. So
right.
I think the problem is enforcing the laws on the books and
enforcing, prosecuting, and sentencing seem to be the biggest problems.
Yeah. Yeah. that's the biggest problem, you know, because they just, you know, it's like a revolving door.
Well, so what do you? I know Brandon has a lot of thoughts on this too. When people say that this type of weapon isn't necessary, isn't the kind of thing that it's like a war weapon, a military style.
That's a tough line to draw, though. You know, everyone has freedom of speech except these three things you can't say. And I don't necessarily disagree that a fully automatic or semi-automatic weapons aren't, not everyone needs one per se, but when you start drawing lines, you start infringing a little bit more and a little bit more and giving people a little bit more power to start taking your rights away. And it's a fine line.
Yeah, and Brian, what do you think about the AR-15, I think, is the weapon that was used?
Well, I mean, those type of weapons, I mean, honestly, I mean, who necessarily needs an AR-15? You know, I mean, me... personally, a gun is a gun. If you know how to shoot, you know how to shoot. You know, you can have a 9mm Beretta, and you can pretty much achieve the same effectiveness with a Beretta as you can with AR-15, you know. So I personally think you really don't need one. But if somebody wants to go out and buy one, that, you know, right now, I mean, you're well within your right to go buy one. So,
right. Including someone who has had an FBI background check on him, who passed those investigations and is an American citizen, as this man was in Florida.
Yeah, I think that's what really gets me, is that how can this guy get, investigated at least twice by the FBI and not be on some kind of flag list. So I think they need to somehow figure out, you know, how to... fix that, you know, because I feel if you get investigated by the FBI, that's pretty big. Because nobody gets investigated by the FBI every day. That's
right.
Something pretty big. So,
but if they clear him, I mean, they can't prevent him from, I mean, that's the same thing, unless he's convicted. I mean, the laws are for gun ownership, unless you're convicted of a felony or convicted of domestic violence. I mean, there are certain criteria. So being cleared by the FBI does not preclude you from having a gun. It simply does not right now under the laws we have.
Right, and that's my whole thing. Is like, if you get cleared by the FBI, it still should be some kind of time before you're able to go purchase a weapon, you know. And even if you are clear and you're able to purchase a weapon, I think this guy purchased like two guns from two different places in less than a couple of days.
Right.
So, you know, that's a red flag to me. I mean, if you're buying multiple guns that quickly, why are you buying that many guns, you know, to begin with, you know? So, I mean, it's a lot of things that need to go into place. And I also believe there needs to be some kind of a mental evaluation when you go and before you buy a weapon. You know, are you mentally there to even own a weapon? Because sometimes, you know, you're not mentally all the way there. So I think if they somehow try to, add that into it.
Right.
You know, there's so many things that need to be done. But I think at this point, you know, especially then with the NRA, you're going to have to battle
right.
them.
I think that's what's so daunting to people. Well, you have a job aside from WGN Radio that I think is something. I mean, working at a bar as security, and we call bouncers, but ultimately you are security. What kind of bar do you work at? I won't ask you the location. I'm guessing for safety reasons you wouldn't want to.
Well, no, I don't mind. I mean, it's a bar in Boys Town, and it's primarily a gay bar, but everybody comes in and out of there. And I've been there for a few years now, head of security there. And in light of everything that's happened, honestly, the night that it happened, we were actually closing the bar. We were... because I'm not necessarily on my phone that often when I'm actually working. So when we shut the bar down, I actually looked at my phone and saw that it happened. I took about an hour or so before I sent out a mass email to all the employees of the bar and let them know, like, look, this is what we need to do. And it was just instinct of me doing it. It was like, hey, this is what we need to do to ensure that we are safe, you know. I mean, there's
right.
certain things that needs to be done at any bar, you know, especially when you're you know, if you're getting that many people in one place, you have to do certain things. And I just wanted to let them know that they're safe and that they don't have anything to worry about.
Have you ever felt as though your location was a target? I mean, has there ever been, you know, people coming by and yelling things at your patrons or trying to start fights?
You know what? I've seen the worst I've seen as far as, you know, homophobia in that area is people probably riding past and shouting stuff out. But that was probably the worst thing I've seen as far as, like, actual violence. No, not really. It is like located near like the red line. So, I mean, you do get that type of element, people coming off the red line and they, you know, may want to, you know, rob somebody or whatever, but, never like, just blatant, just a hate crime, you know, never that.
Will you change anything in the next few days, next few weeks in light of what happened this weekend?
Well, what I do, you know, as far as what I instruct my guys to do is, and it's pretty much universal, I think, with any bar, is that, if, you know, people come in with bags or anything that you can fit. If you can, my rule of thumb is if you can fit a flask in it, we need to check it. Because one of the things that I don't want is people, you know, smuggling in alcohol or anything in a bar, especially weapons. So, I mean, and people tend to come from work or they come from the gym. So they may come to the bar and they have a big duffel bag or they may have, I've seen people that came in with like suitcases, you know,
what?
They're coming. Yeah. I mean, they're coming from an airport, you know? So, I mean, I check everything, you know, I make you open up the bag and I'll go through it, you know, and they have to understand I'm not going through it to be nosy. I'm going through it so I make sure you're not smuggling something in here. You're not supposed to be smuggling that, you know, and about 97% of the time people don't have a problem with it. You may get the occasional person that, you know, take offense that you're going through their stuff, but you know, if you want to, you know, come party and you come with a big gigantic bag, then I think you should leave. Honestly, I think you should leave that type of stuff at home, but I understand people are always on the go
light, you know? I mean, who wants to go dancing with a roller bag?
Oh man, you wouldn't believe. You would not believe.
I would have three drinks and leave it wherever I was.
Yeah. How do you
never see it again?
Yeah. How do you remember to bring that with you?
Oh yeah, I've seen it all.
Yeah. I want to thank Brian Altimer so much for joining us. We have to have you on more regularly, sir. And if you're up this late anyway, you know where I work. You can come hang out with us sometime.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Yeah. I thank you so much. And again, how long have you worked in Boys Town? I'm just curious.
It's about 2 years.
About 2 years. And you know, so many people think of this attack at Pulse in Orlando as, you know, they've made some religious connections to it. But you know, what we're learning now is that it is an act of hate, a homophobic act of hate. What would you want to tell people about the people that you serve at the bar that you provide security for?
I mean, the people we serve, I mean, honestly, it's a special place. And, I honestly think that, you know, when you come into my bar, it's an experience. You know, you go there for the experience, you know, and I know you will enjoy yourself.
Right.
but it is an experience, and people don't look at you sideways, and you just go in there and you just have fun. And I know Pride is coming up, and I know people are kind of skeptical actually going to Pride after this, but I urge everybody, you know, I mean, even if you're not gay, you know, I mean, I'm not gay, but it's like, if you want to come out and celebrate,
you know, right.
Yeah. Just come out and celebrate, you know, and enjoy yourself. I mean, CPD, I'm quite sure they're going to be, amping up security in that area. As a matter of fact, I got to go to a meeting in the 19th district tomorrow and talk to the commanders out there in regards to everything that's happening. But That's pretty much every pride. They have a, you know, they make us have a meeting, anything, you know, stuff
and,
like that. So,
right. And yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So just come out and enjoy it as normal. I mean, you can't let the terrorists win. You know, the minute you start, you know, cowering in your house because you think something's going to happen to you is when you lost. You know, just come out and just have fun.
I agree. Thank you so much, Brian Altimer. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Come hang out and have some pizza with us sometime, will you?
Oh, yeah, I will.
All right. Have a good night, sir. Get some rest. You got to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
The sky's on fire in my neighborhood. People are starting to run. Somebody shout about God is good, and maybe Jesus will come. I saw my city, it was under attack. Could have been Hollywood. They showed the footage on CNN from every angle, round and round again. In a cul-de-sac, melting ice down a nation's back. If God has a plan, then I don't understand how his love for every man. It comes and goes, comes and goes. If there's countries like a seed planted deep inside of me, and I'll still believe that love. I see a window and it's closing fast. You better hurry, slip through the cracks. Don't go in there, it could be booby trapped. In 60 seconds, this place is past. Now all the reasons that you knew before have left you wondering more and more and more. If you're safe at all, any place that you call home. Oh no, but if God has a plan, then I don't understand how his love for every man, it comes and goes, if this country is like a seed planted deep inside of me, and I still believe that love make it grow.
Eric Howell, he'll be performing at Martyrs on Saturday with, and that was his song Seed, which is yet to be recorded. When we come back, we'll talk to him about the album he has coming out and more of his music on 720 WGN.
And so you found it all, and you're talking about fate. You'll tell anyone
but you plan to set the date. But you're pushing too hard, and you're giving it all away, and you're making me talk about it. Yeah, you're making the levee break when I was perfectly floating in sad shape. You gave all those things about me and okay, but see, it's taken too long, and I'm wondering why you wait. I see you're thinking about getting older, but I'm still trying to act my age. And we're laying all these years to waste. But I know you've long moved on now, baby, but wait. 'Cause I'm trying hard to forget your pain and live through these mistakes. 'Cause there ain't nothing that's gone, that's anything you can replace. I see you walking arm in arm, but I'm still standing, standing in the same space, living in the wrong place, wishing there was something else to say.
That's Eric Howell. He'll be at Martyrs on Saturday with the release of his new album, King Mixer. The show is at 8 p.m. And I'll be there. I'm going to try to be there. I put myself down as going. I started out as interested. And then I heard your second and third songs, and I was like, I'm going. And I've invited you, Brandon C. Price, but I know that you have a show at MCL, but your show is at 10:30. Do you have a show before that?
What day?
Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. All right. But I can go to see, I can see his release at Martyrs at 8 p.m. That's his new album, King Mixer. And then I can make my way over to Vamp at MCL and see the great music, comedy, and drinking show.
Yeah.
Did I get it?
That's it.
All right, then.
I'm super proud.
Yeah, really? Thank you very much. That was some great music. And I just want to say, Seed, was you had changed it up a little bit and decided you were going to play that even though you have not recorded it yet.
Correct.
What inspired you? Was there a particular event that inspired you to write that one about God loving mankind, but it comes and goes?
Yeah, I mean, especially with things that are happening like right now, you know, it seems to come and go.
Right.
And I have not recorded that song, but I played it for a friend of mine who's known me for years, and he immediately was like, God's love for man does not come and go. It's man's love for God that does that. You know, and I it doesn't, like art should do, it asks the question.
Right.
It doesn't stake a position, and I was firm on that. I told him, hey, this isn't like my opinion on it. It's just, it's asking the question, and it makes you kind of, it starts up the debate.
That's, you know, what's so hard right now is that if you ask a question, immediately there are people, not everyone, but there are people who feel almost as though your question is a threat to their opinion, and a lot of people consider their opinion to be their identity. I'm one of the people that when this happened, I went to, oh no, please, please don't let this be. Well, one, I was devastated by the tragic loss of life. And then I do immediately go to, what is this going to look like on Facebook? It's so sad that Brandon, because you asked me, I sent you a text and said what we were going to talk about. And what I had wanted to talk tonight a lot about, or as much as I could, was religion, guns, homophobia. I mean, those are that's to me what it is, all those things. Someone said, don't let this story be about guns. Well, that is part of the story. I heard today a radio show host ask an agent with the ATF if this is a gun story. Well, he was talking to a guy from ATF. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a tobacco story.
Or alcohol. Yeah, yeah. Yes, it is. And there's a conversation to be had from that. I don't know why we can't have the conversation. Politicizing it is a conversation. You know what? The personal is political. That's just the bottom line. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about reproductive rights. We wouldn't be talking about religion. We wouldn't be, because you know what? To me, religion is a personal thing. When you've decided that your religion is something you have to impose on others, that the way they live their lives is a threat to your religion or to God's word. But
we should start a country based on that idea.
Well, you know, and I was going to say, they don't seem to have this problem in the UK. You know, it's like any friends of mine that are from the UK, it's like that's what you do talk about at the dinner table. That's what you do talk about at a party. It's immediately going to turn into some political discourse.
Political is personal. Personal is political.
Yeah, it's running the world. It's running,
but there's a different attitude, I think, between that, what you're referring to, and the polarizing politification of the issues here. I mean, so many times you see more ignorant viewpoints from the left or the right.
Yes.
And they tie themselves into these polarizing issues almost as if just to kind of get away from a real conversation. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's all the flags' fault. Oh, it's all the guns' fault. Oh, it's all the gays' fault, or whoever. And then they're tying to these things, and so everybody can just jump on the hate wagon instead of actually be forced to critically think, well, like, politically, outside of my social opinion of this or my religious opinion of this, like, what does this mean for the greater whole instead of just ourselves? And people get so tied up into that, and you don't talk about issues anymore. You just yell at each other about your religious beliefs. And that's why this country's so polarized and so split. And it's a shame, because it's easier to do that and get a vote based off of that than to actually raise issues. Because if you raise issues and you're going to do something right, you have to compromise, and that's harder than yelling.
And saying you're wrong. Oh, I was wrong, or I didn't think of it that way. Why is it so hard to say I didn't think of that, or I hadn't thought of it? Or that's interesting. Here's a guest we're going to have on Wednesday night. And this is a repost, by the way, and I know she reposted this, but I actually know that she is this person who would say this. I stand behind you in line at the store with a smile on my face and a gun under my shirt, and you are none the wiser. Yet you are safer for having me next to you. I won't shoot you. My gun won't pull its own trigger. It is securely holstered with the trigger covered. It can't just go off. However, rest assured that if a lunatic walks into the grocery store and pulls out a rifle, I will draw my pistol and protect myself and my family, and therefore protect you and your family. I may get shot before I can pull the trigger, but I won't die in a helpless, blubbering heap on the floor begging for my life or my child's life. No, if I die, it will be in a pile of spent shell casings. I won't be that victim. I choose not to be. As for you, I don't ask you to carry a gun. If you are not comfortable, then please don't. But I would like to keep my right to choose to not be a helpless victim. There is evil in the world, and if evil has a gun, I want one too. And I know many friends who are reposting that today. And there comes a moment where I go, I kind of want to be, at this point, I wonder if I should get training.
That is the whole point. It's education. It is education about it. You look at a lot of European countries, like what you're saying, the Switzerland's a great example. They're almost all citizens are forced to some sort of military service. Everyone has military training, and almost everyone owns a gun. There's way more guns per capita over there than there are here, and they have like pretty much zero gun violence, and it's because people are educated. It's like alcohol in the UK. You don't see anywhere near the alcohol deaths or the drunk driving
drinking
deaths because they've been educated from youth about what it is and about the dangers of it and about how to do it properly. And
you'll also see ambulances, and as I have seen in the UK, you'll see ambulances in the alleyways because they don't want to pay for the visit to people that are overserved, that drink themselves to near death, get them to the hospital. No, they stumble out of the bar and there's an ambulance right there outside the bar, and they fill them with fluids, make sure they're alive, and then back out onto the street with you, Puntus.
Well, that is certainly a different experience than what I've had, and you know, obviously, I speak ignorantly just off of the stats of what comes out. I think the more you can educate people from the beginning, the better off we're all going to be, and you know, having that military service. The other really cool thing about it is it's the ownership of guns is controlled in this kind of patriotic sense because you're gone through that military training, because the government it has your back on that. It may be because we're so disenfranchised here with our government. We don't believe anybody else but other than our
cynical.
Own opinion.
Yeah.
And so no one's educated on it, and no one's coming together on it and standing together. This tragedy is going to be used by both sides,
yes,
to force their issues. And that's not what this is about. We need to be coming together. And if patriotism and guns and all sorts of things were educated in the lower in the system, younger in the system, I don't think we'd have so many yelling matches instead of progress.
So do you think President Obama has wanted to take guns away, that he wants to repeal the right to bear arms?
I don't. I mean, it doesn't particularly matter what he wants.
But
I mean,
no,
you can't
but,
do
but
that,
that's what
you know what
but
I mean?
That's what people have said, is that that's what he wants, and yet there have been more guns sold during his terms as
yeah.
president.
Well, there's a ton of money behind guns. In a negative way, you know what I mean? I just don't people that's I think that's my point is
that's what people
oh,
say
it's
though.
Obama's fault.
That's what they say, is
and
it?
They're wrong either way.
Right.
You know, and it's just like that's dodging the actual issue. Oh, you don't like Obama. Well, great, dude. Go vote for somebody else, but that's not what we're talking about right now. If Obama came out and handed everyone an AR-15, then yeah. You know, without teaching them
use
how to
use responsibly.
It. Yeah, right.
That was a terrible impression.
I heard it.
we generally do a last call right before the end of the show, but I think we're going to continue to have this conversation, and I know that there are still people awake who maybe want to talk about this or have some thoughts. We haven't checked the text screen, and I apologize to our texters. It's been kind of a one of those nights, but we do encourage you to join us in the last few minutes of the show. 312-981-7200. And I guess, you know, I already asked the question, is this a gun conversation? But I also think that it's a conversation about I think it's predominantly a conversation about hate. And I mean, I hate people who hate, and then that's a conundrum. More for this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Eric Howell, who is performing for his album release, King Mixer, at Martyrs this Saturday night, 8 p.m. You can go to his Facebook page, Eric Howell Music, and hopefully we'll see you there. Otherwise, catch me later. Well, don't catch me later. You can catch me hanging out.
Catch everyone.
At Vamp at MCL. Go to vampchicago.com.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's a music, comedy, and drinking show. It's BYOB, and there's a lovely bar at the corner. They have all kinds
of... We're rolling into year three right now.
My what?
We're rolling into our third year here in a
Congratulations.
Couple weeks. It's very exciting.
That's wonderful.
Music, comedy, and drinking
That's
show.
That's all mm-hmm. helping.
It's all you need. Mm-hmm. It's whose line is it anyway, but everybody's Wayne Brady. Got yeah. a full band. Everybody's drinking along, and I wear a tie.
Take your Uber.
All right.
Take your Uber, take your Lyft, go hang out mm-hmm. with Vamp. It's such a great show. Sean, before we wrap up tonight, I want to make sure we didn't ignore any pertinent texts on the screen. I know that I don't pull them up. He came out here the other night and pulled up my text screen, not knowing that I am banned from the text screen because I will call listeners who tick me off. So, yes?
Yes, I was informed not to do that tonight.
I don't call them on the air. I just like say it to my ears. If you're going to say stuff, say it to me. Don't hide behind your little...
We had a few texters. So 815, it's not about people having guns or taking guns away. It is about gun control and the wrong people owning them. Mm-hmm. Standing next to me in the line.
You're right. It is right. I don't want to... I get nervous. Wendy Snyder said this the other day, that she, every day she thinks about the possibility of being the victim of gun violence. And I thought, well, that's just, I mean, I don't know if it's from the news or just, you know, a personal experience. Esmeralda, do you ever have a moment where you're somewhere and you're like, if someone pulls a gun, I'm screwed?
Well, you know, what's funny is I don't think about if I'm I think about it mostly because since I'm watching Twitter for traffic stuff.
Oh yeah.
We also, cause we watch some,
police
Twitter
scanner.
People talk, yeah, police
yeah,
scanner stuff.
Yeah.
And I see stuff that is blocks away from my house that just happened. And I'm thinking, wow, good thing I'm in a very tall building downtown overnight because
that's happening.
Who knows what could happen.
Right.
Yeah. And I hear people blocks away from me. Like, I heard so many shots and this and that. It's like, okay. I am there only in the daytime.
Well, there was over the weekend, there was a shooting down at Recreation Drive and Lakeshore Drive. So there were people about to play tennis. And that's not someplace. Although I was on Irving Park Road years ago heading toward Lakeshore Drive, and I saw gunfire. And that's it's one of those things where you're in your car and there's not much you can do. You're like, do I get down? Do I throw my car in the park and just get – there's nothing – I can't keep driving. There's other cars in front of me. It's I don't know. No one knows how they'll react in that situation. Brandon, have you ever been in a situation that involved gun violence?
Not from an angle of hatred, just more of an accident. And I was a kid, and I didn't know what I was doing.
Okay.
And so I accidentally shot myself a little bit. Like, just in the hand. I'm fine. Just a little scar. That's the most gun violence I've
Cleaning your weapon, or?
No, just being stupid.
Okay. So, responsible gun ownership. We'll get into that some other time with Brandon C. Price. Yes, Sean, were there more texts?
Someone had an interesting take on this. They feel like from the 606, they feel like that we should reinstitute the draft.
Oh, so this goes
to maybe
I think,
educate younger people about the harm of using these automatic weapons.
Well, when Brandon was talking about Switzerland and mandatory military service, I believe there are other countries that have similar practices. Germany, and you're not necessarily military, but there is civil service.
Yeah, they have a ton of training and a ton of service. You actually, over like the 13 years you're involved in it in some way, at least in Switzerland, you actually only serve for a little over a year of actual, being called
right.
up to duty. But I think it instills patriotism. I think it educates people not only on guns, but on the way things work outside. It's so easy to judge the military one way or the other, whether
right.
you think we should have it everywhere or not have it anywhere. But it's so easy to judge anything you don't understand.
I think there is something to be said about mandatory service.
Yeah, I don't want to draft everybody in there so they'll be scared of guns. And I'm not sure if I'm interpreting that correctly or not. That's certainly not the – education takes away fear.
I have thought for many, even when I was in college, I had a boyfriend who was from Germany and said that, they had mandatory service. And I thought that was an interesting way to go. But then you also look, if we're talking about getting rid of all this debt for students, right? So you have mandatory service, but it also is locked into also an education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's a 4-year education.
Tying like kind of a GI Bill program into it.
Yeah. So
I know some countries, they give you the option. You can go to college or you can go to the military.
Right.
There's not a third thing. So I have no problem tying in education to that at all.
To civil service. Mm-hmm. And when we say civil service, because then it's not just military, because not everyone is cut out to be a part of the military.
Well, absolutely. And I think, and somebody mentioned it earlier, it's some sort of like testing to see where you land. And I think that's very important. I think that should probably be a part of gun control, which we definitely lack. I just don't think that law enforcing gun control and stricter laws, that can't be the only avenue. You can't just keep telling people no. It's just like the drug war. They'll find a way.
Right. Well, and again, this goes back to one of the conversations we started to have earlier about how angry people are. And Brian Altimer mentioned this, that this gentleman did have an investigation. There was an open investigation that was closed, actually, from the FBI, because he had said some pretty horrible things about what he wanted to do. That he wanted the terrorist acts that he wanted to carry out. His ex-wife said that he was violent, but you know, we haven't heard yet whether or not there were any police reports filed or not. But the FBI closed their report, and as such, there was no reason to prohibit him from purchasing a weapon. And it's interesting to me that I've heard people on both sides of the aisle say, well, you know, he shouldn't have had a gun. The FBI was investigating him, but according to the laws that we have, as a citizen, you cannot block his right, his Second Amendment right to purchase a weapon. And legally, you can purchase the weapons that he bought, and in the volume that he bought them, and at the time that he bought them, and in the manner in which he bought them. So whether or not that's a matter of enforcement, the laws that exist, we talk about yesterday I was walking through, and this is so weird. Everybody had a weird day yesterday. I don't think there's anybody that didn't have a conversation that you went, I don't even know how to digest all of this information. But I was at an event. There were police officers there. There were real estate brokers. It was all at Ribfest and the Chamber of Commerce.
Rini was there.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And every room I walked through, because I was participating, and the cops were in the front, and they were talking about what they would do, or you know, and to them this was a first responders, you know, situation. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We've been talking to Jeff Zacharias, who is a professional psychotherapist.
Yep.
And has the New Hope Recovery Centers in Lincoln Square and Lincoln Park. And we're taking a little bit of a sidetrack for some lighter fare right now. And I'm welcoming into the studio friends of ours from the Lincoln Park Chamber of Commerce, Martin Sorge, who is the Director of Community Development. And what have you got going on this summer? I'm guessing some fun stuff.
Yeah, especially this week. This Thursday is our third annual Cravings on Clark restaurant crawl, which is a lot of fun. 20 different restaurants participating. Get a ticket and get a delicious bite at 20 different places on Clark Street and Diversity in Lincoln Park.
And I love that. I love that area almost as much as I love Lincoln Square. And I apologize for having said Lincoln Square earlier. Because I got my names all confused. So Clark and Diversity, and how many different vendors did you say are involved?
Yeah, we have about 20 different restaurants, a handful of retailers participating too this year.
And what can people expect when they go? A little bit of samples from each location?
Yeah, so you buy a ticket. Tickets are $30 if you buy them before Thursday. And you show up, you get a passport, which is kind of your ticket to the event. And then for each restaurant you visit, you can get a few different bites of the goodies that they have, everything from lobster, deviled eggs to fresh donuts.
And for folks who are coming in from other neighborhoods, how do they, I mean, what's the best way to get there? What is there a train line that's the best way?
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of bus lines that run right down Clark Street, or you can take the red or brown line to Fullerton or Diversity and walk on over. Take a Divvy bike. There are a bunch of Divvy stations right there.
Take
an Uber.
Whatever
take
it takes.
Lyft, take a taxi, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say take transit, walk, bike. It's the easiest way to get over there.
I agree, because parking around there is dicey at the very least.
It's exciting.
It's exciting. It challenges your parallel parking skills.
Exactly.
Yeah, and your level of respect for humankind. When you see somebody sitting in their car, you're like, are you going now? Are you going? Mm-hmm. Are you going to pull out of the spot now? We have Patrick and Robert, who are with Compass, yes?
Yes, ma'am.
And tell us a little bit about your location.
We are located at 433 West Diversity on the south side of the street. We're right next to the Elks Memorial, the gigantic memorial.
Oh, yeah, like with a little park in front of it? And, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I'm familiar with the area.
A block from the diversity driving range there. And we've been there since February of 2014. Mm-hmm. And so far, we're having a great time there. Great neighborhood, great guests, great clientele.
And can you guys tell me about the beers you've brought in tonight?
Well,
and this is Robert. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
We brought in just a little bit of a sampling from our beer selection, which is pretty big. We've got 20 taps and about 180 bottles and cans in our coolers.
What?
Yeah. So we like beer and cider. So we have a big variety over there. We brought in a couple of beers from a couple of breweries that we really like. Mm-hmm. First with Anchor. Brewing company out of San Francisco, oldest craft brewery in the country, and we brought a couple of new things from them. Their first fruit beers. We have their Meyer Lemon Lager and their Mango Wheat today. Both are fantastic for summer drinking, sitting on your porch and just having a bunch of them. So a couple of beers from a local brewery, Solemn Oath Brewing in Naperville.
Mm-hmm. That's very local.
And they have they like to have fun with their names. So we have their easy drinking IPA called Snaggletooth Bandana.
Okay.
And also a Belgian blonde ale from them called Fun Sponge.
So fantastic.
Also good for the summer. But yeah, so just something light and refreshing to get us through the segment tonight.
And when you guys started Compass over there in Lincoln Park, you said it was in 2014. What made you choose that location? Lincoln Park, obviously people are like, oh, this is, you know, it's very trendy, or it's, you know, this, you know, a little bit of an upper middle class neighborhood, but it's not an easy place to sort of get your teeth into and stay, is it?
You know, it's really not. However, I did come from a background of upscale dining, and mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of go more to the bar atmosphere, but I didn't want to do kind of a dive bar. I wanted to do something that was kind of a hybrid between the two.
Right.
And we have great clientele in that area that really kind of, you know, it's exactly what we're set up for, is to take care of those types of guests. So
Right. Looked
all over the city, and I think it was the 85th location we looked at.
85th?
Yeah, it was a long year.
Oh, man, that's a lot of getting in the car and parking someplace.
Yeah, a lot of parking tickets.
What were some of the runners-up, can I ask?
You know, we had a nice location we looked at on Milwaukee Avenue, about two blocks south of North Milwaukee and Damon, and
Okay.
we had a deal put together there. Mm-hmm. Up in Lincoln Square, as you mentioned before, we had a nice spot right at like Montrose and Lincoln. I don't want to say the specific locations now. And every time we thought we had it put together, unfortunately, something would pop up and it would fall apart.
Well, and you have such a great spot because you come off a Lakeshore Drive, and it's got to be an easy place for people to find, too.
It is. Most of our clientele is walk up, being a neighborhood spot.
Sure.
But there's plenty of parking with meters, and we're being a block or two off the park. There's a lot of parking on Stockton and Cannon Drive. So.
And that, by the way, the metered parking has changed so much with being able to have an app. I know that some people really hate it. I'm like, it honks at me. I'm like, okay, I'm staying for another hour. That's happening.
Absolutely.
Robert, where are you from originally?
I actually grew up on Damon and Diversey.
Really? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to St. Patrick High School.
Oh, St. Pat's guy. All right. Yep. Fair enough. And how about you, Patrick?
I was born in South Holland on the south side and went to Marist High School as well.
There isn't any Indiana sort of Chicago antagonism there, is there?
No, not at all.
All right, then fine. And what is it like, though, when you're coming from that part of, you know, from North Holland?
South Holland.
South Holland. What, is there a North Holland? There isn't, is there?
Yeah, somewhere I bet there is.
Yeah, I've always thought that. I'm like, North Holland didn't sound right to me. I'm going to say it anyway. But it's just South Holland, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's way far away from Holland. And
it is indeed.
And south.
But there's still a lot of Dutch.
I think they mean just south of Chicago is what I think they mean. What is it like coming from a neighborhood like that and then putting in a restaurant in Lincoln Park?
Well, my first job waiting tables many years ago was at an Outback in Calumet City.
Right there. A little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. So I learned.
I got your blooming onion right here.
Absolutely.
How often do you say that? I got your blooming onion right here.
In my head, I said it a lot.
A lot.
But of course, hospitality comes first. So.
Seriously, what are some of the stupidest things people said about blooming onions?
You know, they like to compare it with Chili's Awesome Blossom, and that was very frustrating as an Outback.
That is really annoying. I'm annoyed just thinking about it.
Your sauce
clearly beats the blossom.
It's not even
comparable. The spices, no.
It's funny,
it never flowered.
I still
have
them, you know, 17 years later.
Great. So you were saying, you having worked at the Outback prepared you for anything?
You know, it did. It actually certainly prepared me on how to interact with guests and people.
Patience.
And
this goes to language, Jeff, by the way. I know this doesn't seem like it's a tie-in, but it goes into like what you keep in your head and the way you present yourself to the world. Everyone should imagine that they are in the service industry. You smile, you nod, you play, you have your judgments, and you get on with your life.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make that cross all kinds of things.
It's a true statement, though.
It is a keep it in your head. Robert, what did you? Were you a server for a long time? Bartending? What was your experience?
Yeah, I started as a bartender down in Champaign. I went to U of I and I bartended.
And exactly where did you bartend? I was ever doing upside down margarita at your bar. Go ahead.
I bartended at a bar called Guido's, north in Maine in downtown Champaign.
Okay.
Little sports bar / martini cocktail situation. Sure. Yeah. A lot of fun, a lot of college kids, but
how do college kids tip? I've never actually asked a Champagne bartender this.
You know, I don't remember exactly everybody, but I would say pretty average. You would say probably like 50. Go for 50.
No, I would say and let's just be honest. They're starting at 18, going to the bars. I'm sure that they're carding very hard at all the establishments.
Well, I had a little advantage because I was in downtown Champaign, so we had a lot more of the
townies.
The townies, yeah. So
that sounds so terrible. I don't know the way I said it, Martin. I'll be honest with you. That sounded terrible the way I said the townies.
You took it there.
I dated a townie. It's okay.
But yeah,
that sounds terrible. I dated a townie, so I'm allowed to say that. No. No, but that was
yeah. So
that makes sense. There's more families and other people.
Yeah,
down.
we had
professionals.
A little bit more professionals.
Grad students.
Yeah, slightly older crowd than the campus bar, the campus town bars.
Yeah.
But then I found my way after a few stops in Baltimore, and I worked for a restaurant group in Baltimore, and got a little bit of a background in wine and other beverage from the gentleman I worked for out there. And then I came back here to Chicago in 2010 and started working for the Boca Group and continued that. And Patrick and I, we met when I came back, and that's kind of how this all started.
Well, it sounds like you're having a good time. And you put together quite the selection of, I'm guessing, both food and beer.
Absolutely. Yeah. The beer is more him. I'll give him credit on that.
And what would you say the style of food is then, if you've talked about the beer and the atmosphere?
Well, we are a wood-fired pizza restaurant, so first and foremost, I'd say pizzas. In our bar itself, we have a beautiful brick oven. Originally, I had a concept for the beer. We didn't know what we were going to do on food, and in walking that particular location when we selected it, we went from beer to beer and pizza overnight because, I mean, we had the equipment right there.
Sure. You may as well incorporate it all. We are talking to Patrick and Robert of Compass. And again, give us the location. I know that I have your card.
We're at 433 West Diversey.
Mm-hmm. And before I let you guys go, because I know we're going to rotate some folks in from Fire Cakes. And no, not from Fire. What else? Vanilla?
There we have food from Fire.
Oh, and are you coming over to talk to me? No? All right, then we'll talk to more of our friends.
You're stuck with us.
No, it's not that. It's not stock. I want to make sure I get all the pertinent information out there. And Martin as well, he's the director of development, the director of community development with the Lincoln Park Chamber of Commerce. And the third annual Cravings on Clark restaurant crawl is happening on June 16th, this Thursday from 6 to 9 o'clock. You can go from Clark Street to Armitage, Armitage to Diversey, and the south side of Diversey from Orchard to Lakeview. If you want to find out about the crawl stops, go to visitclarkstreet.com/cravings. Tickets are $30 in advance, $40 day of the event. Again, go to visitclarkstreet.com/cravings. And for any more information, if you want to call, you can call 773-880-5200. The passport pickups are at 2558 North Clark Street. More with our friends after this on 720 WGN. Hey, Sean, what do you want me to do here? You were yelling at me. Oh, get music. Music! Do I have a live read? I do. Students call him Fitz. Find out why Chicago's longest-serving teacher still fits in with the kids. Tonight's cover story on WGN-TV, News at 9. Well, that was a lot of running right there. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We have with us Martin, who is the Director of Community Development, Martin Sorage. It's a lot going on tonight. How are you doing, sir?
Great.
Very good. And we have Jeff Zacharias, who is our friend tonight, guiding us through the sort of the emotional rockiness that we've all been experiencing for the last 48 hours. He is the Are you the director of New Hope?
Director and owner.
Director and owner of New Hope Recovery Centers in Lincoln Square and Lincoln Park. Go to jeffzacharias.com for more information, and his services are available to everyone. Are you still? Have you filled up all your hours that you had offered online?
Yeah,
you have. Yeah,
but
I can imagine. No, it doesn't mean you're turning anyone away. Right. Right, you're there to listen and to and to be present for people. Go to new-hope-recovery.com.
Yeah.
We also have in studio with us Eric Howell, who's going to play music a little bit. Thank you for being patient, sir. I know
of course.
A lot of chaos tonight.
I got pizza.
You got pizza. I know. I was like, let me get my friends in the studio. Brandon C. Price is in the studio. Say hi, Brandon.
Hello.
From all the way back there. How are you doing, Brandon? Yeah, just enjoy. And we've got beer. Did you not grab a beer as well? All right, then, sure. Our friends Patrick and Robert at Compass, they're also participating in the third annual Cravings on Clark restaurant crawl. And we've been enjoying some of the pizza, by the way. That is really good.
Great.
Tell me a little bit about the Snaggletooth bandana.
I'm going to turn it over to
Robert. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yes,
being
to
our
Robert.
Beverage director.
Yes.
This Snaggletooth bandana, it's Solemn Oats IPA. It's a very... It's a pretty light, easy IPA. It sits around 6% alcohol, so you can have a few of them and be all right. And
yeah.
So it's not going to kill you. It's not going to kill you. But it's something that they've had for a few years now, mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken. And the cans, though, are new to Solemn Oath. They just started canning, so this was a nice new addition to Compass. And
it's really good.
Yeah, and I really like cans. I prefer to have cans.
Why is that?
The cans are basically mini kegs. They protect the beer better than anything. You're looking, it's like you have your bottles and, you know, they're clear, green, and brown. They all block off like certain levels of light. The can's the only thing that blocks off all light, and light is incredibly damaging to beer.
Oh, look at that. So. Don't put any light on my beer, Martin. Do you enjoy beer, or is there something else you
like? Oh, I do. I do.
Have you had some of the Snaggletooth bandana?
I have not yet.
Let's get him a Snaggletooth. A little bit of... Lisa's like, what? I didn't know. I didn't know Martin wanted
call
any.
The bartender.
Where's the bartender? Martin, tell us a little bit about some of the other places that have brought us. Do you know about Fire Cakes?
Oh, I do.
Tell me about
the
Fire Cakes.
They might be my favorite donuts in the city. Fire Cakes brought us. We have an assortment of donuts from Fire Cakes. Their regular old vanilla glazed won the best donut at the 2015 Donut Fest in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They use a lot of local ingredients. There's a rhubarb fritter in there,
what?
Which is the seasonal
okay,
fritter.
Can we talk about rhubarb for a minute?
Yes, we
rhubarb
can.
Seems to be the vegetable fruit of the year.
It's hot.
It's hot. What's going on? I've liked rhubarb my entire life. My mother was a big rhubarb user. I don't know if that's really a way to put it. User. Sounds like she's like mainlining it or something. But am I the only one noticing rhubarb like popping up everywhere? Like I'm like, pfft, like you just discovered it or something.
That's what happens in June. It pops up everywhere.
No, not every year. It does. Mostly in the South. I mean, Jeff from Kentucky, was rhubarb a big thing
all
growing up? Yeah.
Everywhere.
But now, doesn't it kind of feel like Chicago's going, oh, rhubarb? It feels like this year's kale or something, right? But it's in your pie. It's in your fritters. What's
mm-hmm.
happening? So this is a new fritter that they have at Fire Cakes.
It is. I think they just released it last week or this week.
And I just mocked it relentlessly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's fine. I think if I just keep saying rhubarb, anytime someone sees it, they're going to have it now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of influence. What else is your favorite over at Fire Cakes?
Oh, that's a hard one. There's a coconut cream donut, which is delicious. There's a peanut butter and jelly donut, you know, good for lunch.
And I know someone else has sent over the cookies, too.
Oh, yeah, those are macarons from Vinnie Patisserie over there on Clark Street.
You say those words because I would get them all wrong.
Yes, rhymes with knee, Vinnie.
Vinnie Patisserie?
Yes.
Oh, that was rough. For me to say. Okay.
They're like little almond cookies with a filling. So we have they have a rainbow of flavors over there. And they'll be sampling those at Cravings on Clark this Thursday. They make a really great gift. Vinnie has a location on Clark Street down by Clark and Dickens. They also have a location at the French Market. In addition to their macarons, which we brought, they have great brownies, croissants, everything.
It's such a great experience. And I am so jealous because I'm going to give away two tickets, and they're not for me. They're for our listeners. We have two tickets to give away for this Thursday's event, the third annual Cravings on Clark, their restaurant crawl. It's Lincoln Park Pubs, Patisseries.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I made that Spanish instead of French. Can you say it for me?
Patisserie.
Say-
trying my best.
No, that was better. That was better. Anybody else? Robert, give it a shot.
Patisserie.
You see, we both made it Spanish. I don't know what happened there. Well, it's not. He said it. I think the closer. Patrick,
I'm gonna pass.
Patisseries, yeah, I can't say it. Cafes and businesses will offer special tastes and promotions this Thursday, the 16th, from 6 to 9 p.m. You can go to visitclarkstreet.com/cravings for all the participating vendors and restaurants and the cafes. I feel so bad. Whatever that was, I feel so bad. What was
it? Somebody
wanted a beer. That sounded like beer. That was not awesome.
That's okay. I will take the shaken cans of beer, whatever happened over there. It's absolutely fine. 312-981-7200 to win a pair of tickets to the event this Thursday for the third annual Cravings on Clark Crawl. We're going to give away those tickets to the fourth caller. 312-981-7200. Sean, I went easy on you. I could have made it the 106th caller, but I didn't do that. Do you see
I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, I took away 102 numbers to make it easy for you. The fourth caller will get a pair of tickets to the visitclarkstreet.com cravings/cravings. This is their big event. We're so happy to have you back again, by the way. How did last year's go? I didn't even see you afterwards.
It was great. It was great. We had tons of people. We have free pedicab rides, so a bunch of folks were hopping in the back of those, riding up and down Clark Street. It was a whole lot of fun.
And how far out do you start looking at the weather for this kind of an event?
Usually like about a week out. I know a couple days ago it was like thunderstorms, and then today it says like 78 and sunny. So
excellent. 70. So that's perfect weather for this event.
It is.
And did you participate last year, Patrick?
We did, actually. We've participated all 3 years, and it's a great event for the neighborhood. And
that's the cool thing, too, is that people who maybe haven't been there before, like, you know, maybe they have their regular spot. And do you feel like you've gotten folks that were there for the first or the second one and were like, oh, we loved it so much, we kept coming back?
Absolutely. Yeah. Another great thing of it is just it gives somebody that might not have gone into your restaurant, you know, in that neighborhood ever, a chance to walk in and sample something and think, well, the next time I'm down there, we'll stop in for dinner. And it's just it's a nice way to reach out to potential guests that might not normally, you know, set foot in your restaurant.
Exactly. Now, Jeff, you have a center in Lincoln Square. Do you get a chance to eat out when you're in the neighborhood? In Lincoln Park?
We do eat out quite a bit, actually.
And have you been to the list? I'm going to make sure I get to
know where it is, actually. I used to work at the hospital right there. But
at the, which?
I used to work at St. Joe's.
Oh, I was born at St. Joe's. Don't tell anybody. wait a minute. It's like I have a microphone in front of me. Here's some of the restaurants that are participating. Aha Crepe, Basil Leaf Cafe, Compass Bar, Dunley's on Clark, Fire Cakes, Galway Arms, Gaslight, Ginya Ramen Bar, Casey Chocolatier, Orange Brunch. Are some of the other places that I'm missing? Obviously, Compass. I don't have the rest.
Yeah, I think you have most of them.
I have most of them? Excellent. All right, then. I want to thank our friends for bringing us so many treats. And Sean, you are the best at that. It's very casual, like, you got a break. Can you say that on the air for me one time? Just on the air so people know what I hear.
You got a break.
See, doesn't it kind of tickle your ear a little bit when you hear it that way? You got a break. More after this on 720 WGN. Want to thank our guests from the Lincoln Park Cuisine, because you can sample, well, Lincoln Park Chamber of Commerce, Martin Sorage, who let us know about the great event they have coming up this Thursday, June 16th. Go to visitclarkstreet.com/cravings for all the participating restaurants and cafes and businesses. And we hope that you have a great time when you go there. It's going to be a lovely evening to just hang out in the neighborhood and find some new places to get a cocktail, maybe get something to eat, and just learn more about Lincoln Park. More after our news, we have Brendan C. Price in the studio. We have Eric Howell, who's going to play some music. He's been very patient. I think he's been here. He got here when I got here. So thank you so much, sir. We'll enjoy some wonderful music from him. And we still have Jeff. Jeff, you are welcome to stay as long as you want, because we're going to continue our conversation throughout the evening. Uh-huh. And we appreciate you being here. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Jeff Zacharias has been with us tonight. He is a professional psychotherapist, and he is the owner and director of the New Hope Recovery Centers in Lincoln Park and Lincoln Square. And one of the things you mentioned earlier about how people are feeling this weekend is about love and language and dance. And one of my favorite things, and one of the reasons we do Music Mondays, is because I like to dance. I like to hear music. It's the kind of thing that takes you away. We have Eric Howell in studio with us. who is he's a solo acoustic passat. You've done everything, is what I'm reading here.
Do it all.
You and I have done parallel careers. I'm a stand-up comic, and I've done the Passahat comedy. I've done the corporate gigs, the on the middle of a dance floor, no one knew a show was starting kind of a gig.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the middle of a cornfield, whatever someone's having a picnic. And the professional gigs, where you've got people sitting in seats, and they're there for a performance. And we also have Brandon C. Price in studio with us. And I love having Brandon on Monday nights because, one, you always – one of the reasons I was glad that you were on the show tonight because of what's happened over the weekend is because I always feel like you bring something to the conversation that perhaps I might not have. And that really – and I hate that it's always something kind of tragic like this where I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that Brandon C. Price is on the show. But the reason you're here on Mondays is also because of the music. And you have such a passion for music. And I'm sure that you had similar situations. Eric, where are you from originally?
Born here in Chicago, born on the South Side.
Where'd you go to high school? I ask every time.
And then very, very quickly in life, we moved out to the suburbs.
Do you want to tell us which suburbs? You sound so vague about it.
Well.
Like the suburbs, like it was some sort of.
It's its own planet out there, you know what I mean? So we moved out to Glen Ellyn when I was a kid. So Glen Ellyn's my hometown, yeah.
Glen Ellyn. And when did you start playing music?
Probably when I was about 13.
Mm-hmm. And your first instrument? I always ask these things.
Okay, well, then I told a lie. I started playing music with the viola when I was in second grade.
The viola?
Yeah, because I was totally into John Williams music, Star Wars, Superman. And I just was obsessed with, like, you know, like what we now know is sort of like the pop music version of proper symphonic music.
Right.
So, you know, I wasn't into Beethoven or Wagner or anything until much later.
What was the first thing you played on your viola? Were you striving to play?
I was like always complaining to the music director. Yeah. It's like, why can't we be playing these John Williams pieces? And he's like, because this is second grade orchestra. So then I moved on to trumpet. I played the cornet because I wanted to play Bill Conti pieces, you know, Rocky. And I was really upset with the band director delivered the sheet music to all the kids. And mind you, this is like, I think at this point it was about fifth grade. And in my mind, I was like ready for bum, 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 bum. And they hand out the sheet music to us. And it's dun, 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 dun.
Now, for someone who's tone deaf like I am.
It sounded a little like it.
A little bit like that. I love that you were so enraged by the fact that you weren't going to play the music.
Enraged!
Well, the fact that I asked you, when did you start playing music, you said 13 instead of second grade or fifth grade. And I'm guessing it's because that's when you started playing what you wanted to play.
Guitar. Yeah.
So if I asked you to play a little John Williams, what would you play on your guitar?
Oh, I would play... I would play... That's corny, but it's, you know, I swear to God, I want that music like on my deathbed.
That's the music.
So soothing.
So Superman is your deathbed music. Took me a moment, by the way. Took me a moment.
Maybe. It might be in the top five.
Not E.T.? Nothing from E.T.?
No, nothing from E.T.
What would we do? We have, does anybody have, anybody else in the studio have deathbed music?
I'll walk back down the aisle after getting married to the celebration theme at the end of each Star Wars movie for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
If that will be how I decide whether I should marry that person or not, if they're into that idea.
By the way, how
great call, actually, because that's called it's like coronation or something
absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How similar is the music and this is just because I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark on the big screen last week. How much is that is similar? The romance music in Star Wars. And in Raiders, by the way, there's whenever it's a he/she thing, that moment, the I love you, I know, it's the same in Raiders of the Lost Ark, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I love you, I know is Han Solo.
I know,
right? But
so in Raiders,
the music's very similar. But if it's not broken, don't fix it. Right.
Okay, I'm just saying, just asking.
But it is funny you say that though, because that's why it's pop music, or you know, it's film score pop music, because we can all say that about bands that we don't. No, religiously, it's like, I don't know, didn't all their stuff sound the same?
But or if you're tone deaf like me.
or both, you know. Exactly. But if you're into the band, you're people are zealous
about it. You
know
the nuances. Yeah. Right, yeah, I can imagine. Brandon, what was some of the first music that made you want to be a musician? What was the early music for you?
Well, when I finally was allowed to listen to something other than Christian rock.
I think you grew up in my house.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, that was my house.
And now we're free.
Jeff is from Kentucky. Brandon is from both Alabama and Texas. I'm not sure which first, which you...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No, I would definitely say Zeppelin 4. I stole from my dad. The Back in Black album from AC/DC. Talk about a band that sounds all the same. They have an incredible skill of making 13 or 14 albums that are just the same song, and they're all good songs.
Yeah. And changing singers, and it's still good.
Still the same. But some of that classic rock stuff, and then obviously like the Beatles and that kind of very intro to rock music. And then I got super into bluegrass and folk, and I've kind of never really left that area.
And that was it for you.
It's the best. It's the most talented on a guitar. You know what I mean? People are like, oh, Jimmy Page. Like, no, put Doc Watson on.
yeah, there's a lot of intricacy that's involved in that. And Jeff, what's your music from that you most clung to as a kid?
I grew up having to listen to that same stuff, but my guilty pleasure was Rush.
Oh!
It was probably, and still is, one of my... I'm not even guilty about it. I just love them. They're the greatest.
My guilty pleasure once in a while is REO Speedwagon. So, and no one ever, people always go, why do you always hear Rush? Someone say Rush and you say REO Speedwagon. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, who's heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who
REO.
You've been messing around. Yeah, that's REO Speedwagon. Do you notice how I didn't sing it? You know why? Tone deaf. More after this on 720 WGN with friends of mine who are not tone deaf. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We're hanging out with Jeff Zacharias, who is a professional psychotherapist and is the director of New Hope Recovery Centers in Lincoln Square and Lincoln Park. You can go to new-hope-recovery.com and to his website, jeffzacharias.com. He'll be joining us at the Pride Parade.
Yeah,
he was just going to watch. I told him to walk with us.
We're
going to get our Bowie and our Prince on.
That's right.
I've got a rainbow cape. Is there ever a concern about people like who are of the straight community sort of coming in, and is that weird at all? I've always wondered about that. I've never asked anybody.
You know what? The more the merrier. An ally or supporter, come on. And this year, I think it's going to be more important than ever to show that sort of community and stand up to this.
Yep, it's a rough day. Brandon, are you in the Pride Parade?
Yeah, every year, absolutely. My roommate and I always go. She came out 4 years ago.
Do you want to walk with us?
But you people get up so early.
I stay up late, though.
Right. Yeah, I'll meet you there. Our cell phones won't work, though, so we'll never meet up.
We'll meet you there. Performing this Saturday at Martyrs, Eric Howell's in the studio, and he's been very patient. He's been hanging out with us. Yeah. I hope we got to enjoy some good food from our friends from the Lincoln Park Chamber of Commerce. Right now, here he is playing One Too Many.
It never gets old when the hero's down and out in the last scene, like Rocky Balboa when he hit the ground in the final round in the ring. And Mickey cried, stayed down, but he staggered to his feet when they heard the trumpet sound. It felt like my own victory. But as I left my seat, I was just ordinary me. And scene, as I came crawling up to the finish line, someone said false start. I've had one too many dreams that broke my heart. I'm giving up. I'm breaking down upon my bended knees. I've suffered enough. I've been kicked around throughout my history. And I loved her from afar since we were both 17. But she laid out in my car with some 6'3" Marine. After all she meant to me, I guess it wasn't meant to be. Not for me. But you won't find me staring down your wishing well. It's all dried up and dark, 'cause I've had one too many dreams that broke my heart. I've been turned down for the leading role, and you turned up a star, and that's just one too many dreams that broke my heart. So if I jump the shark, they won't say I passed my peak. If I'm thrown out of this bar, there'll be no paparazzi, no surreal reality for this non-celebrity. And that's good news to me, 'cause if they offer up the leading role, you can take my part, 'cause I've had one too many dreams that broke my heart. I won't find me staring out a wishing well, it's all dried up and dark, and that's just one too many dreams that broke my heart. 'Cause I've had one too many dreams, one too many dreams. I've had one too many dreams that broke my heart.
Yeah. That's Eric
so
Howell. And come back over and sit with us, Eric.
Yeah,
wow. That was, it was funny. I was watching Brandon and Jeff watching you play, and I took a little bit of video of you, and there's such a wonderful contradiction of the things that you're saying and the sort of almost jubilance that you have of singing things that I think all of us have felt, one too many dreams that have broken our hearts. And that's okay.
Well, you know, we live to tell the tale.
Exactly.
We live to tell the tale.
Is that what you want people to know, is that you live to tell the tale?
You do, you know, hang on. That's the name of my new record, Hang On.
And that's exactly what Jeff was prescribing, actually, as coping, is hang on. It gets better. Or, you know, I mean, like, again, you live to tell a tale. Brandon, what were you, for you, was it also the, not just the lyrics, but the way he was playing the guitar, I suspect?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of, I mean, you not that I'm anywhere near that proficient, but plays the G right, wraps the thumb, a lot of really cool walking up and down.
Oh,
and
he knows, like, the lingo.
It was very, very proficient on guitar, really fun to just watch, even if you weren't listening to it. It was really cool. Thank you very much for that.
Hey, thank you.
That's the other reason I have Brendan C. Price, is he says things like the playing G right, rapping the walk-ins, bringing.
It's not that Christian rock G. With the pink, I can't do it.
But what does he mean when you appreciated that, but what does he mean? Because I know that you have a clip on the guitar. I'm not at all. I know nothing about guitars. My son and my husband are sort of testing the waters with playing music. But what is the clip on there, may I ask? And how does that affect?
It's a capo, and it allows you to, you know, and when you're playing guitar, especially when you first learn, you learn what they call the cowboy chords, and they're just all down in one position. You know,
all the Garth Brooks chords?
Close to, and close to the headstock and country music and all that. And it allows you to, I changed my strings before I came over here.
Fancy.
They're a little out of tune. But it what happens with this capo that I'm wearing is it allows you to, you put it on the guitar neck anywhere on the neck that you want, and you can still use those same cowboy chords, putting your fingers in the same place, but it'll change the key.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. My guitar teacher from when I was a kid used to call it cheating.
Yeah.
He's like, just learn how to play it in the other keys.
Yeah, what is that about those memories you have from your childhood? Again, we talked a little bit about and that goes back to language. I know that I'm not trying to force any conversation, but it is funny. I think as artists, as whether you're a musician or a comedian, or a talk show host, or even working right. with people who are trying to recover, there are those things that sort of hang that fog over everything that you do.
Right.
Because the fact that you even called back to the teacher saying that you're, do you think of that almost every time you put that clip on?
No, but and he was a great teacher. You know, without this guy, I wouldn't be here
right,
you know, right now at all. He was young and cool and yeah, played in bands.
Where are his broken dreams?
Oh, yeah, right? He's got them, no doubt. We all do. Yeah. So, you know, he's retired now. He's an old man. He's a sweet old man. But yeah, I mean, you do. That's what happens when you're a kid. And I also realize, too, that some teachers, you know, we have all those teachers that they put on a front.
Yeah.
And I've since become really good friends with some of my, you know, high school teachers and stuff. And I was just like a punk in high school. You know, I moved out of the house. I lived on my own. I had my own apartment when I was in high school. And the teachers used to they'd always say, I always see you roaming the halls, Eric. You're going to make it with us this year, Eric. You're going to make it. And, I graduated with like 5 more credits than necessary. But still, I had my own apartment. They knew, like, this guy's trouble.
How many of us were trouble in high school? Just out of curiosity, we were all trouble.
Guilty. Yeah. I know you were trouble.
I was more like not the roaming the hallways kind of trouble. I was the in class trouble that other people got caught for, not me. That's the secret. Just so you mm-hmm. know.
I was truant in an alternative school when I graduated.
There you go. Do you want to share?
I was voted most talkative, and my mother was horrified. Oh. She thought that was the worst thing ever.
Most talkative?
Most chatty.
Yeah, she was so upset. It was like trauma for her.
That you're the, oh
yeah.
Man.
I couldn't have been any, you know, I could have set the place on fire and she wouldn't.
That would have been better than most talkative?
Talkative?
Yeah,
how could you?
How would you express yourself?
I know, right?
But, you know, I have to, so to bookend that, I just have to say that some of those teachers, like, they were really hard on the kids. Mm-hmm. And then later in life, I'm, like, drinking beer with them and going, like, yeah, man, you're so funny and you're cool. And, like, how did that end up happening? And he said, you know, the first year, I was nice to all the kids and they rolled me.
Yeah.
Totally took advantage of me. So he's like, I adopted this mean guy persona. And the kids that were interested in higher education, like, they kind of saw through that, and the troublemakers cowered. So I was a little bit of both. I hid in the music room.
And when did you start writing your own music? Because you really, the lyrics are wonderful.
Thank you. That one's a new one, but I started writing songs when I was about 11, like honestly, probably 11 or 12, I was hearing songs.
Okay, so after you were obsessed with playing any of the John Williams music or any of the, who wrote the Rocky theme song?
Bill Conti,
and before you started playing guitar, so I like the different. I love that. See, the thing is, that's how much of a passion you have. You have those kind of locked into your memory of the stages that you started developing it. I mean, I'm guessing, Brandon, you have those moments of whether it's even if it's having expressed yourself in a certain way, like I have to be this person, not even knowing what that is fully yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think mine's more of just like steps that I can remember specifically that created a complete new pathway and a complete new bend that wasn't coming. I wanted to be in band really bad. I played the tenor sax and I got kicked out freshman year and I needed the theater or I needed the arts credit. So I just kind of wandered into a drama 2 class and that was obviously fairly game changing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't play the sax, but that's okay.
Well, I'm happy for the path that you ended up on. Did you have anything, Jeff, because I was not a musician. I never could play an instrument. Did you ever play an instrument?
I played the alto sax. I played the piano. I played a number of things.
Do you still play any instruments?
I don't. Although I have a piano in my house, I don't play.
I'm coming over to your house and we're going to play. I don't play piano.
I'd be thrilled.
I play
Come
nothing.
On over.
All right, then. Fine. Yeah. Jeff, I know that you have to head out because you have clients
in the morning.
Yes, yeah. You are working in the morning. Again, we've been talking about the tragic events. And tragic events doesn't even, like, I can't, there's not language anymore for the fact that, and this isn't even one where we can't say that we're numb to this or we're starting to get used to it. There was a congressman today that said he will no longer stand for a moment of silence because our silence is what's perpetuating
killing
this.
People.
Yeah. What do you want people to know, regardless of what their emotions are when they are experiencing this? Trauma, because it is a trauma.
It is trauma. And, you know, just to know that exactly what he was speaking to, there's help everywhere, and all you have to do is reach out. And there's somebody who's experienced very similar things, and there are people who want to just help and give voice and just, you know that it gets better. It really does.